Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Inner and Outer Reality in Reality and Outside. As always, I'm your host, Sean Penalber, and today we are here with...
Nkechi Chibweza.
Nkechi Chibweza. Or Ketchy. Ketchy. To those listening.
Yeah.
So you were saying, when we get into philosophy...
Oh, yeah. I'm very intimidated by it because I'm realizing that I really don't have a solid, like... And I guess you're supposed to have, when you're an adult, like, a solid, like, stance of what... I guess the meaning of life is and all that stuff. And then when people get deep, I get lost. Like, people have their own, like, theories and philosophies. And when they talk about it, I get lost. I do. And I'm just like, okay.
See, I do wish that philosophy was more of a thing that they bring up in schools. Like, I mm-hmm. think I would... If I were to redevelop schools in mm-hmm. the way they are, I think philosophy should be high on the list mm-hmm. of, like... And not just of, like, what is the meaning of life, but just, like, how we are with each other. Like, what does it mean to just be? What does it mean to have morals? Or, like, once you start learning these things, it mm-hmm. really just changes your outlook on yourself and life and mm-hmm. just how you interact with things
yeah.
and people. And so I do wish that, like, you said that, like, as an adult, you should already have these things. And when you look around, really, and you start talking about these things with other people, it seems that, like, a lot of people haven't. Mm-hmm. And especially when you get into these things and you have discussions like we are right now, there's almost no time for it unless you make time for it.
Right.
Like, yeah. you can't just be at a bar or at a party and start having these discussions. Most people will just move on to the next thing, like, oh, let's talk about that TV show, you mm-hmm. know, blah, blah, blah. And
I actually would like to talk about Saving Anna. It's on Netflix.
I saw that.
You did?
Yeah. I haven't watched it.
Oh, you haven't watched
but
it.
But do you really want to talk about that?
No, I was just kidding. Okay, but it was the last Netflix special thing that I saw.
so. But yeah, just like that. It's like, mm-hmm. People are more like, let's talk about, like,
yeah,
stuff like that, you know, or sports, or like...
They want to talk about things that they have a grip on, things yeah. that they understand. People don't want to look like they don't have their stuff together.
Yeah.
And then when you start divulging into things philosophical, a lot of people are probably like me. They'll get confused and they just yeah. don't want to do that.
Because really, there's no right answer.
Yeah.
And I think that comfort of, like, even when you're talking about, like, sports or TV, a lot of people still get that uncomfortableness of, like, they'll talk about things that they think they know, and then someone will, like, critique it another way, and then they'll be like, oh, wow, you're kind of right, and then they'll shut in there. So it's like, to break that down with life and the universe, yeah, I absolutely understand how people mm-hmm. can just be like, I don't know what to say here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just not say anything. I was about to ask you something, but I don't remember.
You don't remember? Uh-oh.
So let's move on. I did write some questions down, uh-huh. finally, and okay. you're the first that I'm going to test them on.
Okay.
So do you have any answers to life?
The only one that I have right now that I think works is, like, the answer to life is, like, we're not supposed to be alone. That's it. As in, like, we're supposed to be a community. And we got to find what our community is and be a helpful contributing factor to it.
Yeah.
Making sure you're helping everyone, taking care of each other, and people yeah. are taking care of you. That's the only thing that I've figured out that I'm... That's the only thing I know about life right now is yeah. like, and then I feel like, especially here, and I don't know if it's this way in other countries, but I mean, a lot of people say that, you know, the United States is a very individualistic society.
Yes.
Like, we like to just kind of be by ourselves, and to me personally I feel like that's not the way to go. Like, definitely we need some times of solitude,
yeah,
but a lifestyle where we're just living by ourselves, I don't...
Absolute individualism is toxic.
Yeah.
You need both that community and the individualism. You need it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like everything. Put everything on, like, kind of a seesaw.
Mm-hmm.
And not even a seesaw. Like, let's say it's a circular dish and, like, there's a pin in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to balance out. If you yeah. lean too far on one side, like, mm-hmm. with individualism, it'll all fall over. It'll topple.
Yeah.
And so you have to balance these things out.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, like, what you're saying with community and everything and working together, an example that I really think that we should lean into and observe is, like, I think that we could learn a lot from ants and myrmecology and how ants just work together. And they all have this purpose. And, yes, they're not thinking beings like we are.
Yeah.
But, like, we as a community could be like that. And we are like, kind of like ants in a way. We are all workers. We're kind of, like, serving a higher power, you know, our queens, you know, in quotes. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, if we learn to function as a society as well as, like, ants function with each other. And then moving beyond ants, cells. Like, if cells didn't work together, then our bodies wouldn't even exist.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why can't we think of ourselves as just higher cells? And
because we do think. That's the problem.
That. It's ego.
Yeah.
Ego really blocks the mm-hmm. human from doing a lot of things or working with others. And
but at the same time, like, it's kind of like I have to push back a little bit because I feel like people branching off and doing their own thing essentially is the reason why we've been able to get all the things that we have today.
Yes.
Like, if we were just all, like, working together to make, you know, like, you know, houses out of the stuff that's in our environment, like, we'll just, I don't know, like, mud houses. That's what we did. Everyone makes mud houses. We get our food from a certain place, and that's it. If people weren't like, you know what would happen if I decided
use wood or something?
Yeah, like, we wouldn't be where we are now.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, like you said before, it's a little bit of a balance. Like, it's a little bit of working together as a community, but at the same time, experimenting and branching out and doing your own thing to see what would work.
Yeah.
What would make human life better?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's kind of the same question of what do you believe life and reality is about. But to branch off into that,
mm-hmm.
what do you believe progress is?
It's interesting. I feel like progress... it's interesting because I feel like progress could ultimately be subjective.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can say progress could be, well, instead of me making this... 6-foot bouncy castle, like, now I know how to make a 10-foot bouncy castle, and that's progress. But does it... I don't know what I'm saying.
I'll branch off of that. Let's say you've made the 6-foot bouncy castle, now you can make a 10-foot bouncy castle. It's progress for you and the people who use this bouncy castle, but is it progress for the ground and the grass underneath it that is killing? Or the what lies in the shadow?
There we go. Yeah.
And so it's all this subjective progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that works with everything.
Yeah. Like, you may be growing something bigger on one side, but you may be killing something on the other.
And there's always that balance, mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But even though I say there's always that balance, is that truth? Is that a universal truth? Will there always be that imbalance of suffering and not suffering? Because I've mentioned this on the last several podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which philosopher states this, but essentially what all of human progress has involved with is the thesis versus the antithesis. And so the thesis is basically the people, the higher-ups, basically manipulating the antithesis. And they have the charge, and the antithesis feeds the thesis, right? And eventually, the antithesis gets tired of this, and they take over, they do something like a revolution or everything, they get on the equal levels, but then even with that, which is called synthesis,
mm-hmm.
even when you reach that synthesis eventually imbalances out to where another thesis rises and another antithesis is born.
Mm-hmm.
And so a big question to philosophers or anyone really is, like, how do we move on from that? How do we reach a universal synthesis without teeter-tottering back into a thesis and antithesis? And if we do, how do we make the thesis and the antithesis both good or subjectively good or objectively good?
Mm.
But it's such a broad question. And then also, again, we are the antithesis fighting against the thesis. And the thesis has so much power, especially at this point in time in history. It's almost like trying to empty the ocean.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. confession. It feels very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in general, like, yeah. The way that I guess when you start thinking that bigger picture of how we can get to that synthesis point, it makes me think, I'm like, okay. It makes me want to draw back into like an individualistic being, and I'm like, I just want to do what makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Because humans naturally take the path of least resistance.
Mm, yeah, okay.
And so when it comes to like, all right, who's going to step up and make these decisions? Mm-hmm. That's why the people in charge are mostly sociopaths and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because they don't do that internal, like, okay, I can't handle this. They're like, yeah, I'm going to step up and I'm going to take charge. And everything's going to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have that power. Yeah. They can do that.
Yeah.
And so, again, though, now that we're at this level of, like, we're understanding that most of us are like this, and we're connected, we're interconnected, we have technology to connect us, how do we raise each other up?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are definitely people out there working on these things, but again, it's trying to relocate the ocean. Again, if we were to empty the ocean, you're just going to have to put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That water's going to go somewhere, you know? And even if you were to contain it, and so, yeah, it is overwhelming, and it makes a lot of people kind of just, like, fall back into that individualism of just, like, I'm just going to, life is going to do whatever it wants, so I'm just going to exist within it, which I think is kind of cynicism, both a little cynicism and a little nihilism, but you also have to, you don't have to, I can't say have to, because, like, there is no right or wrong way to do anything as a human. You can you get the choice to do whatever you want.
And a lot of times we forget that.
Yeah.
We think that there's rules. I mean, okay, I'm speaking to myself. I'm always thinking that there's rules that are, I don't want to break, if that makes sense.
But again, those are just constructs. And you can break them. But going back to all of this, again, I can't remember what philosopher said it, but anxiety is the dizziness of freedom.
Oh.
When you have the choice to, when you are absolutely free,
mm-hmm.
and you get the choice to do anything you want, that's when you go back inside. You're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And you get that anxiety of freedom.
Oh, wow.
You get what I mean? And so yeah, it's like,
that makes sense.
And that's why so many humans are willing to just let the higher powers do whatever they want and fall back into the freedom, because they don't know how to actually handle freedom. And so that leads to another question of just like, how do we escape that? How do we...
Drugs.
I'm playing. Drugs. I'm not gonna lie. That's not a bad answer, because drugs have been shown, and I can also relate in my own experience. Like, let's say a bad trip. I don't know if you've ever experienced with drugs or anything, but like when you have a bad trip, or when anyone has a bad trip, like that, when you come out of it, you're like, wow, life isn't as bad as that was. And it kind of expands you a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it opens your eyes on perspective. And just like, and so I think that's where uncomfortableness comes, and that's where growth comes from uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
Because like, let's say you never felt as when you were learning to walk as a child, then you would never be, that uncomfortableness would never teach you to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, you would just not be afraid to fall, and you would just fall all the time, you know? There would be no, what's the word, drive to just continue standing and to not fall.
Yeah.
And so, like, it bleeds into life of just, like, if you live a whole life of just, like, never wanting to not be uncomfortable, or if you just have to live a life of comfortability, that's a pretty boring life in a way. You're just going to stand... And again, that's subjective. I can't say this is a boring life, because you may have the best life in the world.
Yeah.
But like,
because I always wonder. Sorry, finish what you were saying, because I do.
No, I want to hear what you, I was basically.
Done. I wonder, because like, okay. To be transparent, there's definitely been a lot of times I have dabbled in the devil's letters. Okay. But every time I do, you know what I end up thinking about? Like, I start wondering about other people's lives and how they live. Like, I don't know why. It's a
Sondering.
Wonder.
is, I believe, the word for that.
What'd you say?
Saundering.
Saundering. Yeah. That's the word?
Yeah. When you're essentially just, like, thinking of another person's life, what they do, like, when you're in the car and you, like, look over at a person, and you're like, I wonder where that person's going. I wonder how they got there.
Like, yeah. I always wonder how they got to the place that they're in.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what, like, did they have a life that, like, how do we measure, like, do people have lives that are harder than others? Or is it that they, everyone has, like, their struggles, but they also have their blessings and they're just in different measurements? Or is there somebody out there or several people out there that just lived, like, this blessed life? It's just a smooth life, and it just is smooth from start to finish. And what is that like? And what about the people that just got the crappy hand? Like, how do they feel? Like, how is happiness for them? Like, what is that for them?
Yeah.
You know?
Because all of those exist.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just, I wonder about those things. And it makes me, I don't even know why I interrupted you to say that, but here we are.
No, we're chasing that train of thought.
Yeah.
And I also think that that is quite the thought of just, like, sauntering on everything. And I think as human intelligence grows and as we link more with technology and everything, mm-hmm. I think that we're going to start learning these answers of how to relate. And I talk about this on almost all of these podcasts. And so, like, sorry to repeat myself mm-hmm. for the listeners, but, like, once we grow towards neural networking and being able to, like, let's say I have an implant in my brain and I'm able to, instead of us talking right now, mm-hmm. we're able to just feel what we're thinking and talking, and we wouldn't even need language because mm-hmm. we would just understand each other.
Right.
And so, like, imagine doing that on the scale of the internet globally, where, like, you can do that. Instead of, like, thinking, I wonder what this person's life looks like, you would just know
mm-hmm.
and you would just feel it. Mm-hmm. And what would that do to people?
Mm.
You know, how would that change each of us as a living society? And also, someone brought up a great point of, like, would sociopaths or, like, people with strong brains, you know, like, would that overcome yourself? Like, mm-hmm. would they now be able to convince you because they can get inside your head and you would feel what they were feeling?
Oh.
You know?
Mm.
And so, I don't know. I'm tangenting now, and I guess that closes that train of thought.
I guess it does. Good times. But how many of, out of curiosity, how many of this podcast have you done?
Of this one?
Mm-hmm.
You are the 18th.
18th?
Of this podcast.
Mm. And I guess I'm just curious about the train of thought of other people. And that's another thing, as a human, I do like to know and compare. And I'm like, well, what has such and such been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is this supposed to be the standard? Or what's supposed to be...
Yeah, because and we try to make this standard,
yeah.
but really there is no standard.
Yeah.
It's just like... It's such a paradoxical thing, because, like, we are trying to build this, like, kind of... Not standard, but, like, these
mm-hmm.
kind of just, like... phenomenology. We're trying to explain these phenomenons to each other and what works kind of best.
Mm-hmm.
And I put best in quotes because it's just like, we know that some things work better than others, but then also we can't let ourselves get content with that because, just like you said earlier, if we're just building mud houses and we continue to build mud houses, then we're always going to live in mud houses.
Mm-hmm.
You need those people that are like, hey, we can use bricks and wood and stone mm-hmm. and cement and concrete. And then what's next after that? We can't get content after that. You know, we have to always be continuously growing and improving.
I guess my next question is, do we?
That right there. We do when we don't. And so there's no set way for a human to live.
Yeah. Because I honestly feel sometimes like I feel like in the United States, okay, so, like, you know, I was born, well, my parents are Nigerian, and so I've been back to Nigeria a few times, and the times that I've been, I've always felt, well, partly because, like, most of my family's there, I felt, like, a sense of peace, and of course, like, everyone says, oh, it's a third world country, you know, it probably sucks to live there, but at the same time, like, I just remember Anytime I visited, it felt like I felt comfortable with it being, I felt like there was more obligations being here in the United States as opposed to being in Nigeria. Because I guess there's just a little bit of a go, go, go here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, everyone must be doing this. You're like, we gotta get better.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Late stage capitalism.
Yes. And yes, and, you know, Nigeria has capitalism too, but it's not as, I don't know how to say, but it's not like United States, basically.
Commercialized, maybe, or...
I wouldn't say commercialized.
I get where you're kind of going. I'm trying to look for a word that fits.
I don't know what it is, but I just know it's not as intense.
It's different, yeah.
It's different. And I guess sometimes I'm just like... I feel like sometimes we do need to acknowledge there's a lot that we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
Here.
To go back to the do we question, do we need to make these changes? I think that, like, if we look at Nigeria or any place, for example, I think that, like, if we don't try to progress, then that's when things like America happen or things like Russia happen, where the higher powers just take over.
Yeah.
And they're just like, if you don't have anyone fighting against, like, let's try to make some change, then the people that are the thesis, again, takes advantage of the antithesis.
But what, and I guess the frustrating thing is, like, so why does they have to be? Because if there wasn't that thesis trying to take it over, it would still exist and people won't necessarily be, I don't know.
Yeah, what would the drive be? Like, what would the reason to do anything, like, or?
I mean, I think the reason to do anything would be to provide a comfortable, happy place for the people that are your family or your chosen family. I don't know.
Yeah. It really makes you think, and that's one of the reasons why I do this podcast and also make it outside, is to just be in the vulnerability with people and to just, like, be in these moments and to just cause not just yourself but the listeners who may be listening to just, like, sit in and stew and just be in that uncomfortability. And, like, how do you grow from it? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, do you do what we were talking about, of, like, going inside and just being like, oh, this is overwhelming, I don't want to talk about it anymore? Or, like, now that you've been exposed to it, even if you get in that moment, like, what comes next after that? Like, do you just forget about it forever? Or do you use it in some way? And it's all just this interconnected bubble of just, like, I don't have the word for it, you know, a funk.
Huh.
It's all just interconnected funk.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just feeding into it. And again, as I tell a lot of people, and I say it over and over and over again, the funk provides. And when you add to that funk, it provides for you even more. And it gives you all these opportunities, and it sees things. And that leads me to another question. So funk awareness is a thing that I kind of showcase to people, of, like, a phenomenon that happens to a lot of us. So, like, have you ever been thinking of a person or an event or something like that? Or, like, I wish they had this thing. Or, man, I haven't heard from yada yada in forever. And they just suddenly call you. Or you see that thing pop up on...
This happened to me. The one that freaked me out the most, something that freaked me out the most was, like, one way back in the day when I was in college, one of my best friends from high school called me. Before I answered the phone, like, I didn't answer the phone because I was doing something, so I didn't answer the phone, and then she called again straight afterwards, and I just thought, Danny died, is one of my high school friends. Random, like, Danny was just, like, she was just a healthy, wonderful woman who was also in college at the time also. I pick up the phone, and she tells me, yes, Danny died from a drunk driver crashing into her car. And it's just a random thought that I had.
Yeah.
And I hated that it came to... I was like, I can't believe that happened.
Because
I had no idea. And then what that thought that I had in my head was true. And that's freaked me out. Because I'm just like, it lets me know... I don't know what's going on in this universe, but there's certain things that I don't understand, I guess.
That's... It's this weird connectedness that we have. And that is kind of what I'm in quotes, researching.
Yeah.
Is these moments.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, if literally the entire universe is connected from what I'm calling, again, funk,
mm-hmm.
then that means we have this interconnectedness with it.
Yeah.
And then also, once you break down time, and infinity, like, let's say that the universe is infinite, mm-hmm. because, I mean, if we have existence, then it's probably been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason to say that, like, well, there is reason, but there's, it's hard to argue against that this hasn't happened before. Because, like, even when it comes to probability and chance, let's say something is 0.00000000001%.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, that is 100%. It has happened. Mm-hmm. And it would likely happen again, given infinity.
Right.
And so it is very likely that we have been sitting here before, or in the future. And again, with timelessness,
mm-hmm.
There is possibility that we can connect into that. And so I think with the help of technology, or even evolution, I mm-hmm. think as a species, like, if we don't eliminate ourselves first, I think we're going to grow into these things.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah,
yeah, but...
Because I was talking about this with someone at the house party last night, of simulation theory. And the possibilities of this being a simulation.
Ooh. So like a Matrix situation?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was a famous paper that came about, like, I think it was like 20, 30 years ago or something like that, of a guy not arguing for or against simulation theory, just basically being like, okay, here's the 3 points of the possibilities. Either humans in our existence, we never reach the like... Let's say we exist for thousands to billions of years. Let's say we never get the resources or anything to build a simulation kind of like ours. Even though we're kind of already building simulations that are very similar,
yeah.
you know, and we're getting closer and closer to that. But there's the possibility we never do that. That's possibility A. Then there's B. Let's say we reach the point to where we can replicate this moment right here.
Mm-hmm.
Or through something else, other means. And we morally make the decision to not do that. Because if we replicate or we synthesize reality, that means you are causing more suffering and more everything in that reality. You are right. doing the same thing that, quote unquote, God is doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's B. Then there's C,
mm-hmm.
where let's say we get to the point as a human species where we replicate simulation. And this that... makes it almost 100% likely that this is a simulation itself. If we are able to do that, then the likelihood of it had already happening and that we are already in one becomes immaculate.
Oh. And you know what? Because, like, everyone can acknowledge they've always had, like, either deja vus.
Yeah.
And,
or
like,
funk awareness.
Yeah.
Again, and so it's just, like, complete thoughts. Sorry.
No. Basically, it's just, like... It could be a possibility that it's like one of those glitches in the system.
Yeah, where you just become aware for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, like, the longer that, if that were a possibility and we were in a simulation, or even if life were not a simulation, but in itself kind of a simulation of reality, if that makes sense, you eventually just become more and more and more aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And humans have been around for thousands and thousands of years, and... we're now advancing at such a rapid point that, like, the impossibilities of 100 years ago are now entirely possible. To think that the things we're talking about now are impossible even 50 years from now are totally possible. We can't even imagine that. Because, I mean, when you look back at, like, we're in the years 2000 now.
Yeah.
1900s.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. They didn't have anything like what we have now. No. And that was only 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And so to think where we're going to be in 100 years is insane. But we're fighting the thesis. And the thesis is in a very large power of control. And now they're to the point to where they can manipulate the antithesis as well.
Yeah. Dang.
And so I am very curious to see where that direction goes and what we do as a species.
Let's find out in the season finale of The World. Because it's an episode. It's crazy. Yeah. What's your next question? Did you have one?
I do have another one.
Hmm? I don't know. I shouldn't have looked at your phone like that. That was rude. No,
I have nothing to hide. Okay. So I don't have any thing that I don't want you to look at on my phone. Mm-hmm. I guess I have three more.
Okay.
In what way do you picture the future?
To be transparent, I usually don't.
Yeah, I don't think most people do. It's almost an impossible feat. Mm-hmm. But where would you want the future to go? Like, if you could sum things up quickly, I guess. Because this is a lot of pressure to just, like, come up with that right now.
I would hope that the future... Like, I think, like, what would happen is I feel like in the future we become more individualistic because of all the tools that would make it possible for us to be so closed off.
Yeah.
And it would get to the point where I don't know what will happen, but we'll just start breaking apart until there's going to be some type of event that will force us to come together again.
Yeah. And I think... I don't want to say this as an absolutism, but I think we're in that right now. Mm-hmm. I think with COVID and with the wars going on and how fascism and late-stage capitalism are really just tearing things apart, I think more and more people are becoming aware. But again, there's also just, like, the people that just, like, are worshipping it, mm-hmm. you know? Kind of like with the Trumpers and everything. Like, no offense to... anyone out there who supports Trump, but, like,
no offense,
a lot of people were...
go ahead.
Yeah, right? A lot of people were just, like, sucking it up, mm-hmm. and they still believe all this stuff. Or, like, Holocaust deniers, you know, or any
insane.
People like that.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing that blows my mind. They're just like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I guess because it looks upon, I guess, their community or, I guess, people that they associate with in an unfavorable light. So they're just like, well, I feel like it's a little bit of the, when people are like you said, when people are not psychotic, what
sociopaths.
Are they? It's kind of sociopathic, where it's just like, you know what, we're gonna pretend it didn't happen. We're just gonna move along, and then it's the audacity of it all.
Yeah.
Like,
it didn't affect me, I wasn't around for it, so it must not have happened. And I think that is a part of the human history of the thesis trying to erase history as a form of manipulation. Kind of like how, back with slavery, they did not educate blacks because they wanted to erase history.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want...
And it's still happening today.
And it's still literally happening today.
Like, for example, they have... Oh, people are so stupid. Like, you know how, like, now they're trying to, like, ban critical race theory?
And oh, my gosh.
And
it is so frustrating.
It's like in elementary school. It's like, first of all, no one's, like... No one's talking about critical race theory in elementary school. Like, stop it. Like, you want to just not talk about black history. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And you call it critical race theory for you to, like, try and justify it.
It's white guilt.
All of it is ridiculous. Yeah. And it's just like... And now, looking back and realizing that I did live... Like, when I was... Because, you know, went to school in Texas. And, of course, they have, like the textbooks... Like, it would be about all, like, the white history, and then, mm-hmm. like, in the last page, it was the obligatory, like, oh, let's talk about a few, maybe, like, one or two Native Americans, or maybe a black thing, like, right here.
Yeah.
And realizing that I went through my whole entire life through Eurocentric education made me realize that I was... exhibiting, like, a Eurocentric mindset that was very detrimental to not only myself, but also to... Because, like, now I teach in New Orleans, and I teach, like, predominantly black students. That's detrimental to them.
Yeah.
It's
manipulation.
And it's, like... And it's so hard to change, because it takes a lot of energy to, like, shift your mindset so that... And you realize that even if you shift your mindset... So that you can be like, okay, we gotta talk about everything, not just like what everybody like for example, standard like we're not just gonna talk about the Eurocentric part. We have to talk about everything. But even if you do that, the rest of the world is Eurocentric and aligned to whiteness. Like, it's like, one person can't make two, like, as much as you can try, it's hard.
Yeah.
To make that impact that needs to be made for people to be more confident in themselves for being the race that they are. It's a lot.
And that's why I fully support Afrofuturism.
Oh, yeah. Because
I think that's the future, mm-hmm. right there. That's post-white supremacy, post-Eurocentric.
But they're not going to let, first of all, I like that, I do love the concept of Afrofuturism, but I also understand that it'll be a hard fight.
Because Eurocentrism and white supremacy has been around
for so long. They've done such a good job. They have. They did it well. Like, I mean, they're. Yeah, I hate to admit it, because, I mean, it's not been to the benefit of myself, but I'm just saying, they've done a very good job of just...
I'll say they did it well as the same that, like, capitalism has been, quote-unquote, successful. Because, like, capitalism has, yes, it was successful, and it brought us to where we are now, but now it's in the post-stage to where it's becoming toxic, and now it could absolutely be socialism. Everything can be provided for, because capitalism did so damn well.
And people are just like, no, it has to be, because I remember being in middle school and in high school and having these debates about capitalism versus socialism, and then my teachers being like, capitalism is the way, and I'm thinking... Is it though? Like,
I remember thinking. Going back to that seesaw. Yeah. We're leaning all the way and it's falling over. You can have both. Yeah. You can have a socialistic, capitalistic society.
It's okay.
Yeah, but they're just like, they have, America has done such a great job mm-hmm. propaganda
yes.
Against socialism.
Oh, yes. They did. They really did.
Yeah, and it's working. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, going back to the Trump election. When everyone was, like, going for kind of Bernie Sanders, you know, but they were like, socialism is the devil. And it's just like, what?
So, and in a way, it looks like it's like, oh, to make sure that people are okay, it's bad. Yeah. Like, that's basically what you were saying. Because, yeah. like, how dare he think about everybody in this KISS campaign, making sure that everybody's okay, making sure that everyone can survive. What? How dare he?
Yeah. How dare you take from the upper echelon and give to the lower echelon? And it's just like,
especially since the upper echelon stole from the lower echelon.
Yes.
And it's basically you're giving that money back. Because, the fact that people try to act like rich people did the right things to get to where they are, a lot of them did a lot of crappy things to get to where they are.
And it was all just passed down to the next one.
Yeah.
And they've all just been in power
since
the age of man.
Yeah.
You know, like... It's insane.
It's insane.
And going back to the Eurocentrism mm-hmm. in schools, I remember getting to college mm-hmm. and taking my first history class and just getting that slap in the face of just like, this is what I remember hearing about, like, really actually diving into the Trail of Tears and like hearing about like what actually happened to the Native Americans
mm-hmm.
and never being taught that stuff in like middle school and high school. Like, yeah, they kind of went over it.
Yeah,
and
they were like, they peruse over it.
That. They just like, some people died. This thing happened. It was nice. The white people moved all the Indians over into the next land. And then getting to college and just hearing just like what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
And that is critical race theory, like, at its finest, right there. Just, like, erasing what happened.
And it just such... Because, like, even, like, for example, I would even say... I can see why in the United States there is a lot of Holocaust deniers. Because I remember when I... My last year in England was... I was in fifth grade. I guess what you would call fifth grade. And that's when fifth graders take the deep dive into World War II. And a Holocaust. Deep dive. Like, gave me nightmares. Deep dive. Like, and I remember moving to the United States, and then, I don't know if it, back then, it was in the sixth grade curriculum to do the Holocaust. And it was not as...
I bet.
They didn't know. It's like, yeah, people died, it was bad, but it wasn't like when I was in England. But also, granted, in World War II, that's definitely like more of an England...
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It went on way more over there than
it did. Because, you know, United States is kind of like, they were just like, we're going to mind our own business, until Japan was like, no, you're not.
It's like they threw the dodgeball and they nailed America in the head.
And then America said, oh, so you're going to throw a dodgeball at us? Well, guess what we got? We got a gun to shoot at you.
Yeah, we have a mechanical dodgeball machine, yes, idiots.
Yeah, and we're not gonna just do it once, twice.
We're gonna do it the rest of your lives.
Yeah, and that's one thing that scares me. I feel like the karma of all of that, all of what the United States have done, just in general, to become the place it is today. I mean, it has to fall sometime, and I guess I get worried about when that would be.
As statistics show and stuff, mm-hmm. and probability, apparently, like, I think it's like 300 years, yep. or so, and we started in 1700s, mm-hmm. so it's coming up. And also, I saw the other day that something about, like, Pluto is returning to the positioning of the planets and everything. Pluto is coming to a point mm-hmm. where the last time Pluto returned was the fall of, like, Rome or whatever and stuff.
Oh, fun.
And so, like, it's going over the U.S.
Oh, and of so, course. Like, okay.
Yeah. So if you're into all that astrology and stuff, like, yeah, Pluto's about to, like...
When
and Pluto's
that?
The god of war. Apparently, like, this year or in the next few years.
Oh, well, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that we got to worry about. Also, like, the repolarization of the Earth. Like, every, like, few thousands of years, the polarization reverses. What's that going to do to all of our technology? That could literally shut down the entire world. Let's say a solar flare hits us.
Yeah.
That could also do the same thing, knock everything out.
Yeah. Because I was like, we rely on our phones way too much.
Technology is taking us over. Yeah.
It scares me, because I'm just like, because like you said before, solar flare could happen, and then we won't have any type of, like...
Anything. Any connection. Mm-hmm. Any way to, like, only libraries would be able to, like, help us, how to grow a garden, how to even survive, like, how to find water, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and people are going to fight over that knowledge. You know,
mm-hmm.
What a crazy world that would be. But also stuff like Yellowstone. Apparently the super volcano is supposed to explode, and that's going to, like, tear up half of the United States.
Really?
And that's due at any time, yeah.
Half of the United States?
Yeah. Oh. So the super volcano would essentially, like, blow up all the states surrounding, and then the ash cloud would kill all the rest of the stuff in the surrounding.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yeah, right. And that's only one of them. There are the super volcanoes all over the planet that just, like, are
already
just ready in the dormant, you know. And then ourselves, we're fighting each other, and so there's so much stuff that we're going against. And again, it's I guess my prerogative to kind of try to guide humans out of that, or at least, like, what are we going to do when we reach these things? How are mm-hmm. we going to help each other?
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're fighting the thesis, and we're fighting each other,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah. Okay. It is. Okay.
Which leads, I guess, in the next question. How do you limit the suffering of others?
How do I limit the suffering of others? I don't know if I do.
Yeah?
I don't know. Like, I live my life. I try to make sure that the people around me are okay and taken care of. But I don't know what, I guess, actions that I take that may make other people suffer.
Because, I mean, you could literally do anything, like, mm-hmm. and someone's going to suffer, like,
mm-hmm.
just by... Sometimes, for some people, just by you being there is causing them suffering. And so it's just like, what do you do in that situation but except leave,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or, like, how do you manage
yeah.
that?
So, I mean, like, the thing is, I mean, the only way I would know is if someone told me that's... I'm the one that making them suffer.
And most people won't, because,
no.
again, humans take the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Or most do. Not all.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
And so, I guess that's another thing that I'm trying to do is limit the suffering for the future. Like, once I'm gone, like, how do I help?
Yeah. Make sure it's not as...
As bad.
Yeah.
Even though things are going to be completely different, you know? Like, what can I do to... inspire or influence the next generations of, like...
Yeah. That's so... I feel like, for me personally, that's... It's a lot of responsibility. I'm trying to survive my day-to-day
yeah.
first before I can think about, I guess, the world. Because I haven't even figured myself out, you know?
Yeah.
And once that happens, then I feel like then I'll be... able, like, I mean, I'll do what I can while I can, but until I am at a place where I'm just like, yep, I'm good, that's when I'll be like, okay, who else needs help? I think I got it, you know?
You see, that's like, imagine a socialistic society where it's like, we can finally do that, where mm-hmm. it's like, we're helping each other to the point where it's like, you have to worry less on like, where am I going to find this next meal? Where am I going to find mm-hmm. the money to live yeah. my own home, mm-hmm. you know? And now you can actually focus on all the other stuff,
yeah.
you know, like each other and like creating.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's interesting because sometimes I think about, have I taken actions to limit the amount of time I have to, I guess, help others?
Mm-hmm.
Like something as simple as being like, yes, I am going to go get my master's degree. It takes time to do that.
Time and money.
And money. And it's like resources, and it takes stress and things. And then from there, because you're putting all your energy into that, it means like you don't have energy to do, I guess, things for other people around you.
Yeah.
Well, you do, but you have less energy to do that.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, I'm like, are the actions I'm taking going to, I guess, benefit the people around me ultimately?
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know. I don't know. And I'm like, so at the point where I don't know if it's outright, I guess, hurting myself or others, the next decision is, well, do I want to do it or do I not want to do it?
Yeah.
And then that's when I, you know, go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that also falls into essentially like almost determinism and funkism of just like, whatever choice you make, that was the right choice, because mm-hmm. like you're now teaching the universe what it is like to have done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
fair.
To have experienced the entire journey of that.
Yeah,
and so fair. You're expanding on it,
mm-hmm.
but then that could also be abused, because like, again, going back to sociopaths and psychopaths, they're like, oh, then that means that I'm justified in killing this person mm-hmm. or doing this terrible thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, well, yes and no. Like,
yeah,
you're teaching the universe that is that, and you're doing this terrible thing. You're causing suffering, but others are learning in that suffering.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I know that I should never do that. Or, now they know how to handle stress. Like, oh, let's say someone killed your family or something like that. It's like, you're now the one that has to teach the universe what it is like to feel that pain. And it's terrible, but that's what happens. Everything okay?
No, yeah, everything's fine. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
After, I don't know why it picked up the phone. That was so...
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
I get it. I completely understand.
Yeah, I was supposed to be doing a photo shoot with someone today, and...
Oh!
It doesn't matter, I'm out of town.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm just like, okay.
Let it be.
Yeah.
I guess two more questions.
Yeah.
What is your understanding of the concept of God?
The way I consider God, my understanding is that he is the creator of the things that surround. That's the way I see it. I more want to call it the creator as opposed to God. I don't know.
I
don't know if I understand it. This is just what I think of. Uh-huh. Like, I just think of that is the energy or the entity that made it so that this earth can exist and the universe is the way it is.
And doing all those things, yeah.
And doing all those things. I have no idea what it is and why they decided to make it the way it is. Because it could be... Like, you know, I love, like, in The Men in Black, the first one, where, remember, they had... Did you ever watch
it? Yeah, it's in the cat's necklace, and mm-hmm. the universe scrolls out, and then it's just another marble that alien picks up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, it could be that, like, you know?
Yeah, because it's infinitely big. And again, like, we were talking about probability.
Yeah.
The likelihood of that happening is super possible. And then also...
Yeah.
It happened in Men in Black, and so that is essentially a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we've witnessed it. We're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
And so... I guess two questions. One is like, and I ask this to a lot of people, like, Why he? Why God? He? Is that, again, is that kind of, do you think that's a...
I mean, I consider God to be they.
Yeah, I do too. I completely agree. Yeah,
because I don't, I mean, I just feel like, because, like, we all know about, I mean, the Bible's written by man.
That, yeah.
You know, men, they've
been... It's the patriarchy.
It's a patriarchy, yeah. It's been in control for many, many years.
Yeah, since they wrote the Bible.
Yeah, of course. And of course they're going to refer to God as a man. Of course, because... They set things up so everything kind of works in their favor.
Yeah.
And all things that are, like, powerful, all things that control things, they want it to be masculine, male presenting, you know? So.
Yeah. And that's where it comes into my metaphysical breakdown of what God is, mm-hmm. rather than the religious breakdown, because I grew up Methodist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I got all that religious. I also involved myself in other religions because I think they all feed into the metaphysical reality of what God is.
Yeah.
Because they're all constructs of, again, funk. And that is what I believe God is the funk.
Okay.
And wherever that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever breaks that down, whatever caused these things to happen, or whatever, even if there was no causality, if mm-hmm. these things just happened,
mm-hmm.
and now all of this is constructed from that tiny essence of funk,
yeah.
then that is essentially the metaphysical God. And, because a lot of the religious people that are anti-God, mm-hmm. they believe it's this thing, or there's this presence that causes all these things to happen, mm-hmm. and it causes suffering, but really, that's just the universe doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no true good or bad. And an example I give a lot is that just like a meteor hitting a planet. That is neither good or bad universally. To humans, if a meteor hit our planet...
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
Right.
But really, in essence, that is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a thing that happens.
Right.
And so, like, that... Our experience is, like, I believe that, like, if funk is, quote-unquote, you know, God, or, again, that's why I say funk, because God has different denominations and everything, mm-hmm. Then that means that we are essentially... in its image. It's just like the Bible says, or any Bible says. And so, like, we are each a piece of God acting as itself, teaching itself what it is to be God or funk. And so that, again, that's just a current philosophy on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people can kind of, like, they understand at least what I'm saying. I don't know if everyone agrees with it,
mm-hmm.
but I do see, like, the understanding of that.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. It makes, I mean, I, yeah, I can see it.
That.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's just mm-hmm. like, and there will never be an answer, or at least in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, again, as far as determinism goes, that is God trying to explain itself to other things. And I can't say that I'm a prophet or anything. Like, I don't want to be, you know, but, like, just as far as everything is,
mm-hmm.
We are now in this moment
mm-hmm.
for some reason. The universe literally happened,
mm-hmm.
and here we are now discussing it and bringing it down, and mm-hmm. that was supposed to be. And so, like, it's just such a weird phenomenon.
It is.
And even to, like, say that right there, people are going to be like, oh, you think you're this special, like, you're the next Jesus or Moses, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, I'm just me.
Yeah,
like,
everyone's just existing.
Funk. If I had to say... my answer to, like, my current summary of what it means to just exist, or what is the meaning of life, it is to just be. Mm-hmm. It is to just be you. And not just be you, but be anything. Like, again, as I said in the last podcast, to just be the cement that mm-hmm. lifts up this house
mm-hmm.
and what that is like, you know, like...
Yeah.
And then eventually, as time goes on, we all just transfer into everything. The energy is never destroyed or created. It's only transferred into other stuff. And so even when we die, we just transfer into the next thing. So our atoms break down and mm-hmm. just, like, spread out. And so I don't know how to fully summarize that in a statement, but
That's fair. And I don't either.
Yeah. And then I guess the last question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have 6 minutes. It's perfect.
Oh, nice.
What are you thinking of right now?
I'm thinking that I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. This is a very overwhelming podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of built to be that way.
Fair.
A little bit.
Yeah. What are you thinking right now?
I want to know what you're thinking. So, like, essentially, again, as far as the funk provides goes, or the philosophy of, like, mm-hmm. we are guided by this thing, and these things are happening, my goal, or my, I don't know the word I'm looking for, the prerogative, or mm-hmm. what I'm trying to get out of this is essentially, like, an answer from itself, from the source.
Okay.
And so when I say that, like, what are either of us thinking of right now, it's just like, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that whatever you say or whatever I say, that is the right answer.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's just such a broad, open question of just like, what's on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And to be overwhelmed, it's like, that's what's on your mind. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about that, you know, it's very meta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we could just go on from there.
You could. Good times. Good times. But also overwhelming times.
Any last things to say as we wrap it up?
One thing I do... One, this is random. But, like, you were talking
That's
about...
That's what I was looking for.
Okay. But, I was watching... Have you ever watched that show... Like, that podcast, Kill Tony?
I know about it. Yeah. I haven't dived into it yet.
Yeah. So, like, I hate watch that podcast a lot. Because it's a long story. But I do like the concept of the show where, like, they just have, like, these stand-up comics do a minute and then they interview them.
I have seen Kill Tony. I did watch it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I remember they were interviewing this one guy, and then he said that he had did some kind of drug, DMT, something.
The dream chemical.
Yeah, but he was saying that, like, he felt like he was transformed into a blade of grass, and a cow was sniffing him, the blade of grass. And then it made me, I was like, dang, I've never thought that.
Yeah, you've never... Because you're a human. You wouldn't even think of that. But going into the funk, it's like, what if he was actually reliving an experience?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm just like, it's just so many different types of experiences that could happen. Because every time I think about other experiences, I think about human experiences. I've never thought about experiences when it comes to, like, what does it feel like to be the energy in a light bulb?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Or to be a sound wave.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
you know?
Because most things that we're taught and everything and mm-hmm. how most things are constructed are out of humanism. We relate things as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, for us to break out of that, we just have to, again, do what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Really try to relate from other things, even though we never will,
mm-hmm.
unless, again, we're able to break down or connect into that funk.
Yeah.
And, like, let's say one day we reach that technology or that ability to just, like, relate with a blade of grass or a snail crawling mm-hmm. across the thing. Like, imagine being able to talk to an animal and just, like, feel what it's feeling yeah. and understanding.
And also, okay, now the things that I start thinking about are, like, for example, in my kindergarten class, we learn, like, the life cycles of certain insects. And uh-huh. so, we did the butterfly, like the life cycle of a butterfly. And so I decided, okay, we're going to have to, I want them to witness it. And so you can buy like these kits online
yeah.
where you, have you ever seen those kits where
no, we did that when I was young.
Oh, you did that when you were
yeah,
young?
Yeah, we did that in, I think first grade.
You did? Okay, we didn't, well, I didn't have that when I was in school. But yeah, like, so, like, thinking about how, like, they got these, like, first of all, that the company has gotten this, like, because, you know, they have, like, the caterpillars in this little cup, and they got the food in it, but of course it's, like, you know, like, usually caterpillars are eating, like, grass and leaves and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, like, they don't have grass and leaves. It's just, like, this regular, I guess, like a...
Caterpillar food?
Yeah, like, maybe a... Like it'll be like how baby formula for babies.
Yeah.
Like, it's not breast milk. It's,
yeah.
like, it's not the real thing, but it gets the job done kind of yeah. situation. And so I think about, okay, what does it feel like to be, like, a natural butterfly as opposed to a butterfly that has been, like, not about
what
like
is the yeah I
not chemically
constructed
yeah constructed or, like
yeah.
what is that kind of life like, you know, like, and is it different, is it,
it does it still make it a butterfly,
yeah,
you know, like, I mean, because, like, it becomes a butterfly, but is it a butterfly?
Yeah,
yeah,
I guess and that's made me wonder about that. Now we're doing ladybugs now, so I have a ladybug land where they get to see, and it's got the same thing where it's like, you know, they have like this quote unquote ladybug food that they eat, and they're in this dome, and I'm like, oh, they're gonna be in this dome their whole entire life, and that's their world.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, I wonder that experience as opposed to them being in the wild. I don't know.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Now that, I guess now that I'm thinking outside of being a human, now I want to think about what it's like to be other stuff. And I don't know.
That leads into speciesism. And trying to relate as, I think that is an important step in humanity, is to essentially, once we're able to, I think Afrofuturism is the first step, mm-hmm. and then there's speciesism. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, look at right now, farmers don't pay their livestock or their fields.
Yeah, they don't.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine a world where it is like that. And how do you, or how would you pay your livestock or fields? They don't need money, mm-hmm. you know?
So you're paying with things that they want. Yeah. Technically, I guess they kind of do?
Yeah, kind of. Until they need them as a resource, and then they, you know, take advantage of them. And so, like, what does the world look like beyond that?
Because, like, okay, can you imagine, like, the farmers had to, like, pay reparations to the chicken families
yeah.
that they, you know?
Right, and how do you do that?
And how would that, how would that work?
Yeah. By, like, do you build this giant chicken farm where the chickens live, you know, and do they get voting rights and everything? Like, yeah, isn't that such a thought, though? But, like, mm-hmm. I think that is a post-Afrofuturistic world mm-hmm. when it gets into the species of things.
Yeah, the species of things. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. And also, that's overwhelming, especially with the layers upon layers of things that like humans have to think about when it comes to humans on an everyday basis, and they can't get level with that. Like, I don't know.
To even imagine doing it with species, yeah.
Child.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it may be... Okay, I don't know. You know what would be the irony of it all? If, like, the world was able to get on board a lot faster than they were when it comes to treating people of color equally. Because you know how. It seems like priority is definitely given to animals before it's given to you, like, some humans sometimes. It may be a lot easier than we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a... almost sad thought in a way.
Yeah, but it's also reality.
Yeah,
because now I'm just like, at this point, I'm just looking at the stuff that's happening in Ukraine. I'm just like, it doesn't matter wherever I am. If there's gonna be turmoil, I'm screwed. It's fine. Like, I just have to take it, because it's just, because the first thing is, like, it doesn't matter what type of turmoil we're coming through, like, people are still gonna think about racism. Like, yes, we are definitely... the end of the world is about to happen, but what is not going to happen is me help you out during the end times, because you're still a blackie. Excuse me. You know, like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane that it's like that. And it's like, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to... like, it makes me feel like, okay, maybe having this individualistic world is not so bad after all. Because, I mean, trying to be a part of a community that does not want you is not fun either.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks. It sucks. It's sad.
We're in that.
Mm-hmm.
We're in that right now.
Yeah.
Well,
sigh.
Yeah. Well, catchy. We're over time.
Oh, we are.
That was perfect. Cool.
All right. Yay.
Yeah. That's a great ending point, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you got any last things to say.
No, I'm good.
All right. Plugs. What's going on? Where can people find you?
You can always find me in all the places at Happy Black Chick. So that is Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, all those places. And I have a monthly show called Funny But Make It Fashion in New Orleans. You're more than welcome to check it out. Just go, and if you just follow me on Instagram, you can get all that information. I also have a one-woman show called Perversion that will be at the One Festival, which is a festival that will be happening in April. And that is a festival you can participate in, because it's online. So if you want to get more information about that, just go to my Instagram.
And then Venmo, PayPal, Cash App at
Happy Black Chick, all of them.
All of it. That's smart that you did everything the exact same.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, like, I got that name, like, probably, like, oh, it was probably a good, like, 10 years ago. And someone the other day was like, wow, you got that name, Happy Black Chick? You're like, as in, like, that's a really hard name to get.
And you got it,
like,
at prime time, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize it at the time. And yeah, now it's like, I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess, cool. That's a nice little Instagram handle I got going. Or there's a nice social media handle I have going.
Because, yeah, inventing something new these days is so hard. Because everyone's been doing it for 10 years now.
Well, more than 10 years.
Yeah.
For sure. Facts. And it's so funny, but when I had that, people were like, the reason why I chose Happy Black Chick was because people was just like, there's no such thing as one. Like, people would troll. Ooh. Like, people would troll my YouTube page, and they'd be like, whenever I'd leave comments and stuff, they'd be like, Happy Black Chick, you're not a happy black chick, you're an angry black chick. Like, they would be like, you're not, you know, like, they'll have to say, no, it's not a thing. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm keeping this, because I'm trolling the hell out of everybody that thinks that's something that doesn't exist.
Good.
Yeah.
Fight that.
Yeah.
How hard does that be?
Yeah.
All right, Catchy. Well, thank you for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
And thank y'all for listening.
Yay.
Love y'all.
Bye.